This is Carol Bond returning with the Decatur Herald Review, dated July 5th, 2016. This is Carol Bond returning with the Decatur Herald Review, dated July 5th, 2016. We'll begin this portion with the obituaries. Elzora Hubbell Channer, 99, of Decatur, passed away Sunday, July 3rd, 2016. Following her wishes, her remains will be donated for anatomical study. Burial of cremated remains will be at a later date in Fairlawn Cemetery, Decatur. Memorials in her name may be made to DMH Hospice on Brentwood Circle in Decatur. Mitzi Jean Drake, 61, of Iliopolis, passed away on Friday, July 1st at Life's Journey in Taylorville. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. on Tuesday, July 5th at Fullenwider Park Funeral Home in Iliopolis. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. on Wednesday at Iliopolis Christian Church with Reverend Tina Miller officiating. Burial will be at Riverside Cemetery in Iliopolis. Memorial contributions may be made to the American Cancer Society. We turn now to the A3 briefs for Tuesday. This is from Decatur. Man, gun, seized. Police said a Decatur man they thought that they caught after he ran from them early Saturday was armed with a stolen and loaded semi-automatic handgun. Reports said officers had become suspicious of the 23-year-old suspect about 2:20 a.m. as they saw him tucking something into the front of his pants in the 800 block of East Main Street. When they approached and told him to stop, police said the suspect ran but was captured in a nearby yard. Near where he had been seen crouching down, officers recovered the 9mm pistol. The gun was reported stolen from Christian County, and the suspect now faces charges that include possession of a stolen weapon and aggravated unlawful use of a weapon. Leslie Goddard will portray legendary female athlete Babe Didrikson Saharias during a program from 10 to 11 a.m. Saturday, July 9th at the Forsyth Public Library, 268 South Elwood Street. The family-friendly show will be set in 1955, with Zaharias reflecting on her life, remembering her rise from Olympic medalist to world-class golf champion. She participated in golf, basketball, hurdles, javelin, high jump, boxing, and baseball. Children's Tea Time. The James Milliken Homestead will host boys and girls of all ages for a children's tea at 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. Saturday, July 9th. Take a stuffed animal, doll, or action figure to share refreshments and activities. Admission is $8 for children and $12 for adults for reserved seats. For reservations, call Marcia Comerford at 454-7220. Decatur Sensory Friendly. The Children's Museum of Illinois will hold its first sensory-friendly event from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Thursday, July 7th. The museum is working with Not Forgotten to provide the event for children with exceptional needs. Activities include the introduction of a social story, schedule, and quiet room at the museum to accommodate children with sensory needs. The Junior Welfare Association provided a grant to hold the event. For more information, call 217-423-5437. Ice Cream Social. The 67th Annual Latham Firefighters Ice Cream Social will be Saturday, July 9th. The all-day event starts at 11 a.m. with car and tractor show registrations. Sandwiches, ice cream, cake, and soft drinks will be available at noon, and prize tickets will be for sale all day. The Latham Firehouse is at 271 North Macon Street. The Junior Kids Pedal Tractor Pull will start at noon at the firehouse, and the Junior Olympics will be at the ballpark at 2 p.m. for youth through high school age. The Ransom Band will play at 5 p.m. Activities will wrap up with large prize drawings at 8 p.m. Decatur. Woman attacked. A 24-year-old Decatur woman is in Macon County Jail after allegedly beating up her former girlfriend in the roadway at North Monroe and West Division Streets. Police said the incident occurred June 24th in 500 block of West Division when the victim saw her former girlfriend outside a residence. The former girlfriend asked the victim for a cigarette, a request the victim complied with. Another woman then approached the victim and also asked for a cigarette. When the former girlfriend saw this, she allegedly threw her own cigarette down and began to punch the victim in the face. The woman then pushed the victim into the street and sat on top of her and continued to punch her in the face before putting her in a chokehold, according to police. Afterward, the woman took the victim's purse and began tearing up items, including money. She then took the pack of cigarettes from the victim's purse and walked away. After arriving, police officers found the victim's wallet in the street, as well as pieces of the victim's hair and torn $5 bills. The suspect was arrested Thursday, and bond was set at $75,000 on preliminary charges of robbery and aggravated domestic battery. Turning once again to our advice columnist, Mary Hunt today has ideas on keeping the bunnies at bay. The letter writer has this: Dear Mary, during spring I put out beautiful young plants, hoping they would bloom flowers all summer long. But I've been having a problem. Rabbits. They munch my plants right down to the ground. There's a fence around my vegetable plants, so they're safe. But my perennials and annuals are out in the open, and they're getting destroyed. Do you have any ideas? Signed, Connie. Dear Connie, short of fencing your entire garden and roping chicken wire around the lower 18 inches, there are two labor-intensive approaches that work pretty well. Plant vegetables that rabbits hate. Peppers, cucumbers, tomatoes, corn, and squash among the flowers to repel them. This doesn't look very aesthetically pleasing, though, so perhaps the second approach will be more appealing to you and the rabbits. Plant vegetables rabbits love, such as beans, peas, barley, parsley, and rosemary, to draw them away from the flowers. Just be sure to plant this rabbit bait far from your beautiful flowers. The next letter is from someone named Maxine. Dear Mary, I know you're a big proponent of carrying cash rather than a debit card. I've tried it, but I really like the convenience of a debit card, and I'm able to manage my spending better with it. The problem is I'm not earning any interest on the money in my checking account. Do you know of any high-interest checking accounts that would work well? Dear Maxine, these days high interest is relative. 30 years ago, high interest would have been 9% or more annual percentage yield. These days, compared to no interest, I suppose 2% APY could be considered high. I do have good news and a recommendation for a checking account that pays up to 5% APY. Take a look at the new Ultimate Account offered by North Point Bank. Certain conditions must be met to get the 5% interest rate mentioned below, but given your money management style, I bet you'd easily qualify. The Ultimate Account comes with other great features like free checking, refunds for ATM use up to $10 per month, 24/7 online access, mobile banking, and free bill pay. Of course, there are other things you need to know and understand about opening this checking account. You must deposit a minimum of $100 to open. Balances over $5,000 earn 0.1% interest with a corresponding 2.54 to 5% APY. You must keep the account open for at least 120 days to get the goodies. Additionally, you'll have to meet a few marks each statement period to reach that amazing 5% APY rate. You must make a minimum of 15 debit card purchases that amount to at least $500 and enroll in e-statements and either direct deposit or automatic withdrawal of at least $100 per statement period. The North Point Ultimate Account is not for everyone. However, if you have a contingency fund, a personal emergency fund, or other savings that you want to keep safe and earn interest on, and if you are one of my readers who relies heavily on and enjoys the convenience of your debit card, it won't be difficult for you to meet the qualifications that allow you to take advantage of 5% APY. On the opinions page, we find this letter to the editor written by Calvin Carson Sr. of Decatur. The headline for the letter is Basketball Camp Will Emphasize Life Skills. Carson and Friends' fourth annual Skill Basketball is a free camp for the community kids, and the Macon County Sheriff's Department is a first-time sponsor. Don't Start, Be Smart will be a strong topic for our community kids. The camp is designed to bring our kids together to listen to some very important speakers. The camp is July 9th at Hess Park. Come have a blessed time. We welcome all to come out and be a part of this great event. We are still in need of sponsors. Contact Carson and Friends Foundation, 1074 East Clay, Decatur. I'm going to turn now to the July 4th edition of the Decatur Herald Review. Here's an article entitled, Former LSA Executive Director Moves to the Salvation Army. When Kyle Karsten came to Decatur with wife Jean and his three children, it was to serve God and the community. He spent 7 years as the executive director of the Lutheran School Association. And when that ended in April, Karsten received lots of advice from friends, but waited for God to give him direction before making any decisions. The Karstens wanted to stay in Decatur, he said, partly because they've put down roots here. One son and their daughter are attending Richland Community College in the fall, and the youngest son will be a sophomore at the LSA High School. Jean Karsten, a nurse, recently started a job at Hickory Point Christian Village, and with Karsten's new job at the Salvation Army, that paved the way for them to continue to serve this community, he said. Quote, God didn't check in with me about my plan, Carson said. I sought him, and it's his plan that we have a chance to stay here and continue to serve in the community. But selfishly, as a dad, I really did want to see our family be able to stay here in Decatur, especially the kids and the ages that they are. The door that opened was at the Salvation Army, where Karsten began last week as development director. Quote, I get to be a part of publicizing the things that the Salvation Army does and finding a lot of the community that is already a part of this ministry and already supporting it, and how we can promote those volunteer systems that help run our food drive and our toy drive and the kettles with the bell ringing, and all those are reminders of what the Salvation Army does. One thing that Major Wesley Dahlberg said is the best kept secret is that the Salvation Army is not just a social service agency. It's a church. Quote, a lot of people don't forget the church because they never knew it, Dahlberg said. People who walk in looking for a thrift store or to bring in a donation and they see that we are a church, they're surprised. First and foremost, Salvation Army is a church, and all of the ministries and programs we perform are done because of the love of God and the love of God for humanity. So we serve humanity as a result of that. That's why Karsten is so pleased to be a part of the ministry, he said. Men who come to the shelter are offered a chance to join a Bible study and often choose to start attending church services too. Quote, one of my questions for Major Wes when I interviewed was how many times do we have the opportunity to witness, Karsten said. That was very much a part of my ministry in the past years, and for me to get to hear what we do and why we do it, that's what we're all called to do. It's awesome. Next, we have Tony Reed's article about yoga. Headline, Yoga Brings Class Peace of Mind, and the dateline is Decatur. The frenetic tweeting of sparrows in the roof, notwithstanding, the humans who gathered for yoga in the park inside Pavilion Number 1 at Decatur's Nelson Park on Sunday morning had no ruffled feathers. Teacher Tara Drake took 25 students, ranging from children to adult, through a series of exercises designed to condition the flesh and relax the psyche. The steady drizzle from gloomy skies, which had driven the sparrows under the pavilion, along with one very calm-looking squirrel, were just background detail for the students who weren't bothered by the unseasonable 62-degree temperature either. They had come clutching their mats to seek mind-body harmony, and they said yoga, first developed in India perhaps 5,000 years ago, always delivers. The Yoga in the Park sessions are organized by the Decatur Park District on the first Sunday of every month and come with the wallet-soothing benefit of not costing anything, even though led by a rotating series of professional instructors. Quote, I've come here for the last couple of summers, and I really enjoy it, said adult student Christy McElwee, who lives in Decatur. I love the view, and it's so peaceful up here, she added, gazing out at the gray lake that matched the gray skies. McElwee says, rain or shine, yoga unleashes a package of benefits that flood her brain with endorphins. Quote, yoga is everything, she explained. It's exercise, it's therapist, it's antidepressant, just everything. It always makes me feel better. Her advice to beginners is to stick with it and give yourself a chance to get used to yoga's relaxed pace. Any may shop around studios too, because you may not find the right teacher at first, she added. There are a number of studios around Decatur, which is nice for a town this size. Sunday's teacher, Tara Drake, runs the Yoga Home Studio and Ayurveda Center. Ayurveda is an ancient healing practice in the city. She says a quest for physical fitness often leads beginners to yoga, but then they want to go deeper. Yoga underlayers your experiences to get to your true self, Drake said. Afterwards, you feel more calm and at peace. Here's a guest editorial on the opinions page. This was from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, but it's of interest to everyone who enjoys coffee. The headline is, "Coffee is good for you. So is common sense." Coffee drinkers got a dose of good news and bad news recently. The good news is that coffee is no longer considered carcinogenic. The bad news is that it can be if you drink it too hot. This re-emphasizes the common sense rule of eating and drinking. Don't do it to excess or extreme. For many years, the World Health Organization considered coffee to be a possible carcinogen. In its latest report, the organization changed course and stated that coffee should no longer be considered carcinogenic. Indeed, it may be beneficial in warding off liver and uterine cancers. The good news was tempered by the results of a World Health Organization study that found that drinking coffee and any other beverage at temperatures above 149 degrees could cause people to develop cancer of the esophagus. That is not necessarily a concern for those brewing a cup of coffee before work in the morning. Home coffee makers produce coffee in the range of 135 to 150 degrees. It gets trickier when purchasing coffee from a restaurant or coffee shop. In 1992, a woman sued McDonald's after she was burned when the coffee spilled on her. Testimony showed that the coffee was close to 190 degrees. McDonald's eventually settled the case and modified its guidelines on serving coffee. But it would not be surprising if some diners, coffee shops, or fast food restaurants serve their coffee in excess of 149 degrees. The common thread, however, through most of these reports is that moderation can minimize risk. A beer or a glass of wine is not dangerous and can even promote good health. Still, three or four beers or glasses of wine a night are problematic. A sensible portion of steak provides needed protein, but too much can spike cholesterol or triglycerides. The same is true of that cup of Joe. This latest study is not a call to quit drinking coffee, but another call for common sense. On the 4th, Mary Hunt had this advice column for readers, Life Lessons from a Daffodil Garden. I love the story author Geraldine Edwards tells in her book, Things I Wish I'd Known Sooner, when she took a trip with her daughter Carolyn one drab rainy day. Her daughter wanted to drive more than 2 hours to see some flowers a woman had planted. She wasn't too thrilled, but her daughter insisted, saying, "You are going to love this, Mom." Tell me what mom could resist going along with that kind of enthusiasm. They drove along the rim of the World Highway, California State Route 18, inching their way through fog and drizzle in the San Bernardino Mountains toward Lake Arrowhead, north of Los Angeles, California. By now, Geraldine was so agitated and convinced her daughter was kidnapping her. Still not convinced the sight could be worth the trouble, Carolyn parked next to a small stone church and said they would need to walk along a path through huge black-green evergreens and over a thick blanket of fallen pine needles to see the flowers. Just as they turned the corner of the path, Geraldine stopped dead and gasped in amazement. Quote, "There before me was a most incredible and glorious sight, so unexpected and unimagined." She saw rivers of daffodils in radiant bloom sloping down from the top of the mountain across several acres of folds and valleys between the trees and bushes. Daffodils of every color of yellow blazed like a floral carpet before them. Her mind flooded with questions. How could this be? The daffodil garden was the handiwork of just one woman, a former Los Angeles high school art teacher named Jean Bauer. She and her husband still live on the property. Their small home, which they rebuilt after it was destroyed by a fire, fits perfectly in the scene of glorious flowers. Jean began planting each daffodil bulb by hand, one at a time, in 1958. Year after year, she replaced ugly, dried-up, lifeless bulbs and eventually planted close to 1 million bulbs. She forever changed her world by creating something magnificent, beautiful, and inspiring. As Geraldine approached the mountain home situated in the sea of yellow, she saw a sign posted by someone who was clearly tired of answering the same question over and over. It said, quote, "Answers to the questions I know you are asking. One woman, two hands, two feet, and very little brain. One bulb at a time. Started in 1958. What do you need to do in your life? Build an emergency fund? Pay down your debt? Downsize to a smaller lifestyle? Why not start today? Take the first step and then do it over and over again, one baby step at a time. You will be amazed at what will grow from your efforts, no matter how small and seemingly insignificant. Your consistent diligence will make all the difference." We all know that in 1776, the Declaration of Independence was adopted by delegates to the Second Continental Congress in Philadelphia on July 4th. Other things that happened on the same date were that in 1802, the United States Military Academy officially opened at West Point. And in 1826, 50 years to the day after the Declaration of Independence was adopted, former presidents John Adams and Thomas Jefferson both died. In 1939, Lou Gehrig of the New York Yankees delivered his famous farewell speech in what he called himself the luckiest man on the face of the earth. And finally, the thought for the day on July 4th, which was attributed to Benjamin Franklin. Quote, "Where liberty dwells, there is my country." This has been Carol Bond with the July 5th issue of the Decatur Herald and Review. I very much look forward to reading with you again.